The gospel of Jesus Christ is something that angels would long to look at.
He seems to care not only that I live, but how I live.
You're going to have to pick and choose. Go with God's word or go with what the world is saying. You need to come down into the Word of God and try and test everything according to the Word of God, which is the plumb line, which helps us to know, is it true or is it false? Preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit.
I've got a God who really is intricately involved in the affairs of man.
Force every sinew muscle within you to give it all it's got and go all the way to the finish line. It's a labor, and it's a labor of love. The love expresses itself in toil, in sweat, and blood, and tears, and going all the way. And he says, as I remember,
every word is given of God, and therefore it is the end, it is perfect, it is the full inspiration of God. It is the only source of authority that you and I have.
You're listening to Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. The Holy Spirit is the subject of our current series, which we're calling Spirit Works. Dr. White has a few thoughts to share as we begin this broadcast.
And welcome to the Tuesday broadcast of Word for the World. I'm Dr. Randy White, and we've been discussing since Friday the baptism and the filling of the Holy Spirit. What a fundamental and important issue. Here today, we're going to pick up where we left off yesterday. In fact, we'll repeat just a portion of it to get you up to speed. And we're talking about the work of the Holy Spirit, part of which is the baptism and the filling of the Holy Spirit. If you miss any of these broadcasts, join us at randywhiteministries.org.
In the Old Testament, you went to the temple. In the Gospels, you went to the Lord Jesus Christ to experience the presence of God. And now we have him right here with us. How many of you would rather have to travel to Jerusalem every time you want to experience the presence of God? No, we don't want that. I think you should travel to Jerusalem, but not to experience the presence of God, because he's with you here, now, yesterday, today, and what? Forever. He is indwelling you. Let me tell you, it gets better. In the Old Testament, the presence of God was at the temple. In the Gospels, the presence of God was through Jesus Christ. In these days of grace, the presence of God is indwelling within us through the Holy Spirit of God. But let me tell you about a day to come that Revelation chapter 21, verse 3 speaks about. It says, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And look at this, and God himself will be among them. That's a day to say amen for. That's right. That's called heaven. When we're right there in the presence of God. Don't have to go to the temple. Don't have to go to Jesus. Now, sometimes we say, I just wish we were in the days when Jesus was still here. And that's all well and good unless you happen to be out on in the middle of the Sea of Galilee and a big storm comes up and Jesus isn't with you. All of a sudden, you begin to worry and you begin to fret, don't you? Until here he comes, a man who stilled the water, and he's walking on that water, and then Jesus is with you, and all is calm again. And so that's why Jesus says, hey, it's better for me to leave, because if I leave, I'll send you another helper, and he will be with you forever, forever. And then that day will come when the literal presence of God will be right in your midst. So right here, in this age that we're in, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the continual presence of Christ. I am glad to know that wherever I go, wherever my saved children go, wherever my wife goes, there they have the presence and the power of the living and resurrected Savior. And you've got them through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, one more. The sealing of the Holy Spirit. The sealing of the Holy Spirit. In the sealing of the Holy Spirit eternally secures us in Christ. These four things, the regeneration, the baptism, the indwelling, and the sealing of the Holy Spirit, I believe, are experienced by every believer. By the sealing of the Holy Spirit, I mean that you are eternally secure. Not in what you have done, but in the stamp and the seal and the earnest money of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you a couple of scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Verse 22 says this, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. That's a good word, isn't it? He has sealed us, and then to know that we are sealed, he has given us the Holy Spirit. He'd have to remove the Holy Spirit in order to take away that seal. And then in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, it says this, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so here we come into this scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 would be one more. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We used to sing an old song based upon a scripture of that Paul wrote. And that old song says, I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What Paul is saying is, I have nothing to fear. I have nothing to worry. I have given him my life, and I know that he is able to keep that secure until that day he takes me to heaven. And I know that because I have been sealed, made eternally secure by the Holy Spirit of God. If you are a believer, you've experienced the regeneration, the baptism, the indwelling, and the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Now there's one more, and that is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Or you might prefer the term the filling of the Holy Spirit. And that is where the Holy Spirit consecrates us in Christ, or empowers us in Christ, or sets us apart in Christ, or enables us in Christ. Now, this anointing and the baptism we spoke of previously are often confused. And in our world today, those who speak of a baptism of the Holy Spirit often mean a filling of the Holy Spirit or an anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we could do a study of Scripture and see that they're used in different ways, in different manners. They are different things. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is something that you can experience. You don't always experience it as a believer. Let me compare the baptism and the anointing, the filling here for a moment. First of all, baptism is once and for all. Filling is many times. Sometimes people refer to the baptism as the second blessing. They would say, have you received the second blessing? And I would have to say, well, no, not in the sense that you mean it. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yes, I certainly have. And that placed me in Christ, and I rejoice in that. But if you're talking about the filling, then I pray. It doesn't stop at two. I need it again and again and again and again, a third, fourth, fifth, hundredth, thousandth blessing. Holy Spirit, come on me and anoint me. Consecrate me in Christ. Another difference. The baptism is about position. The filling is about experience. Position and experience. Let me give you an example. Some beggarly fool could come up and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and accept the gospel, accept Jesus as their Savior, and immediately they could become a joint heir with God, with Christ Jesus. An heir of God, a joint heir in Christ Jesus. But then they may go and live spiritually a beggarly life and never experience the filling or the anointing or the power of the Holy Spirit that could be theirs. Usually because they don't dive into the Word of God and into the worship of God and into the people of God and do the things that it takes for spiritual maturity. Another person can come and they can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well as they become saved. And yet then they get into the church and they get into the Sunday school class and they get into the Word and they get into the service and God's Spirit comes down upon them and anoints them and they have an experience that is completely different. You know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you most likely can't feel. You don't understand. You don't have any difference of feeling. The fact that you have now been placed in Christ, it's a position. But when you experience the anointing of Christ, it is unmistakable. You know that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. How many of you have ever been to a worship service that was just as dead could be? It was dead as a doornail. Yeah, it wasn't here, right? Okay. You've all been there. You know it. And it might have even been good preaching, and it might have even been good music, but for some reason it was just dead. Or maybe it was bad preaching and bad music. I don't know. And yet you've been to another service in which as soon as you walked into the building, you said, wow, there's something different here. There's something powerful here. And you went away, maybe it was bad preaching and bad music, but you said, I experienced God in that place. That's the anointing. And you felt it and you knew it.
Was Benjamin Franklin a man of Christian faith or just a man of Christian virtue? He is one of the most well-known American figures worldwide. He is looked to as the elder statesman of the founding fathers, a man of moral virtue, biblical knowledge, and tremendous wit. But was Benjamin Franklin a born-again Christian? Order The Faith of Benjamin Franklin by Dr. Randy White, an easy-to-read 50-page booklet about one of our most famous founding fathers. The booklet is only $7.95 and is available at www.randywhiteministries.org or by calling us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448.
Third, baptism is about standing. Filling is about state. Here's what I mean. It's very similar to the previous point. But when you are filled with the Spirit, you receive the ninefold fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control and gentleness. How many of you have lived the Christian life one day and you were grumpy? Anybody? Any Christians ever get grumpy? Yeah. Not when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not grumpy, by the way. You see, sometimes you're anointed with the Holy Spirit and you receive that ninefold fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, and on and on. When you are anointed with the Holy Spirit, you receive power for your testimony or boldness in your witnessing or victory over the flesh or the ability to exercise spiritual gifts, as we spoke of last week. When you are anointed in the Holy Spirit, you are enabled to praise and to worship God. When you are anointed in the Holy Spirit, you are able to pray in powerful ways. And the filling of the Holy Spirit produces what should be the normal Christian experience, and a continual filling is necessary to maintain the norm. What you need is a filling of the Holy Spirit, and that'll bring you into that state of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, let me share another one. Baptism is universal among Christians. The filling is not. I've already shared this with you, but let me share a couple of scriptures. First of all, Acts chapter 6, verse 3. It says, therefore, brethren, select from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of the task. Now, speaking of what would become later known as the deacons, but here is the apostles, Peter, speaking to the church, and he is implicitly saying, some are filled with the Holy Spirit, are anointed with the Holy Spirit, others are not. And I'm not talking about their salvation. I'm talking about the anointing of God upon their lives and upon their walk and upon their service. And you find those who are anointed with God and you select those for service. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, the scripture that we have looked at earlier in our sermon. Do not be drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. He wouldn't give us a commandment to do something that would happen anyway. And so he says, I instruct you that some are not filled while others are. Then finally, this morning, baptism and filling are received under different requirements. Different requirements to be baptized and filled in the Holy Spirit. What's the requirement for baptism of the Holy Spirit? Simple. Faith. You come to the Lord in faith, receiving the gospel in faith, allowing the Holy Spirit to do His work, understanding and believing that the death and burial and resurrection of Christ Jesus has a lasting impact onto your spiritual life today. Acts 16:31 says, they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You'll be regenerated. You'll be baptized in the Spirit. You'll be indwelt with the Spirit. You'll be sealed with the Holy Spirit.
Our broadcast will continue in just a moment. I'm sure you know that these broadcasts are expensive to produce and distribute on the radio and internet. It is faithful friends like you who help make this ministry possible. We have a group of supporters in our Club 8 program who donate a simple $8 each month for the support of this ministry. While $8 does not seem like a lot of money, these supporters really are the basis of this ministry. Would you consider joining the ranks of those who give this $8 gift? When you join Club 8, you will receive Dr. White's book, The Antichrist, absolutely free. To join, click the Club 8 tab on our website, www.randywhiteministries.org, or call us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. Once again, that's 1-855-437-9448. Dr. White is grateful that you are willing to help keep this broadcast ministry of conservative, convictional Bible teaching on the air. Randy White Ministries has a free DVD with 90 minutes of Dr. White's teaching on the very interesting and relevant subject of the Antichrist. To receive this free offer, give us a call today. The toll-free number is 1-855-437-9448. When you request the DVD, we will also put you on our mailing list so that you can receive regular articles, devotional material, and even sermon CDs that Dr. White sends out free of charge several times each year. Once again, call us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-4-DR-WHITE. Now, let's get back to our broadcast.
That's the requirements for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But what are the requirements for the filling of the Holy Spirit? And if you're a believer today, you need to know these requirements. And it's really quite simple. Maturity. Spiritual maturity is a requirement for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, I struggle with this a little bit because I don't know exactly how to put this in words. But... you know, I can't find anywhere in the Scripture where it asks, where we are instructed to ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Rather, I see commands all through Scripture where we are instructed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so this tells me something that I don't have quite all there together yet, I have to admit. Because there's so much, I want to come and say, Lord, fill me, anoint me. And yet the Scripture seems to be teaching that to be filled with the Holy Spirit has to do, as the Ephesians passage said, it has to do with the way you walk. Has to do with the way you live. Has to do with your everyday life. Not so much just this prayer. And I don't know that it's wrong to ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit. I'm just saying that I don't think that is the means of being, or the requirement for being filled with the Holy Spirit. I think some spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, walking in wisdom of the Spirit. Let me share with you three things here on this idea. Very quickly, the Scripture tells us that we are not to quench the Spirit. Now, you know what quench means. It's like taking that hose and bending it over, crimping that hose where the water cannot flow through, quenching the Holy Spirit, choking it off. Now, how would you quench the Holy Spirit? I'd say if you say, yeah, you know, I only feel like worshiping God about every third week, you're quenching the Spirit. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the practice of some, but rather coming together. Allowing the Spirit of God to flow. I believe that God comes and He speaks and He reveals Himself as we come into Him and into His Word and into His worship. So maybe we don't worship, or maybe we don't study the Word of God to learn the Word of God. We just really don't know much about the Word of God. And so we're distant from the things that the Word of God has to say. We don't divide the Scriptures properly, and we're quenching the Spirit. We don't do the things to grow as a Christian. Well, when you don't worship, you don't study, and you don't grow, and all those things, what we're doing is quenching the Spirit of God. How can we be anointed if we're quenching the Spirit of God? Another term that's used in the Scripture is do not grieve the Spirit of God. If we're going to be mature, we don't quench the Spirit of God. We don't grieve the Spirit of God. Now, how do you grieve the Holy Spirit? I know how my children perhaps grieve me. It doesn't happen very often, but they're little angels, actually. I know how they grieve me, though, on the occasions that they do, and it usually has to do something with a snooty attitude or disobedience. Did any of you ever experience that in your home, by the way? I just wondered. When we come to the Word of God, we come into worship, we hear the Spirit's teaching, and we ignore it or we disobey it, we're quenching the Spirit of God. And some would say, well, am I not being filled with the Holy Spirit because of some sin in my life? I'd have to say maybe. I can't give an answer for everyone here. But if you're grieving the Holy Spirit, how can you then turn around and be anointed by the Holy Spirit? Don't quench the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit. And then as our Ephesians passage says and others, walk in the Spirit. Allow Him to lead every step. As a good way to know if you're walking in the Spirit, that is, check your attitude. Are you humbly grateful or grumbly hateful? Are you humbly grateful or grumbly hateful? Your attitude tells a lot about whether or not you are walking in the Holy Spirit.
And boy, it is my prayer that your attitude and mine just show, display, clear to everyone that we are walking in the Holy Spirit, that we have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you're just continually gripey, if you're continually complaining, if you're continually against everything, you're against your church, you're against your job, you're against your school, you're against your husband, your wife, you're against your children, you're just against it. Then, friend, I have a feeling that you need to get an experience with the Holy Spirit and be filled with the Spirit. Let me encourage you, through the preaching of God's Word and the study of God's Word, to come to know the filling, the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. It's something that really can transform your life. No more do you have to do life on your own. Well, as we close out this topic, I want to encourage you to call and get the free DVD that we offer all the time, and that is our DVD on the Antichrist. It's full of such good information. We'd like to send it to you as we've sent it all across the nation. It needs to come to your house as well. It's absolutely free. In fact, even the phone call is free. You can call us at 1-855-437-9448. Once again, that number for the free DVD on the Antichrist is 1-855-437-9448. Now, when you call, we're not going to try to sell you something else. We're not going to try to solicit a donation. We'll just get your name and your address and see if you'd like to be on our mailing list, and we'll send this to you, and it'll be a joy to us. So call and request the free DVD. If you'd rather get it online, go to randywhiteministries.org and the resources section, and then look under the DVD tab, and there you'll find this DVD, The Antichrist, absolutely free for you to order today. It's a thrill to walk with you here on Word for the World. I am Dr. Randy White, and I hope you'll call us today or join us on the internet.
Dr. White would like to invite you to travel with him to Israel. His next trip is scheduled for late January 2013. You will enjoy 11 exciting days walking where Jesus walked in the ancient land of modern miracles. Each stop of the journey, you will be fascinated as the Bible comes to life in 3D reality right before your eyes. You will gain more Bible knowledge in these few days than you could ever imagine. Information is available at www.randywhiteministries.org or by calling us at 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-437-9448. Or simply email Dr. White at randy@randywhiteministries.org. We hope you've been blessed from today's edition of Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. Please contact us today, toll-free, at 1-855-437-9448. Our website is www.randywhiteministries.org, where you can sign up for Dr. White's daily devotional or weekly doctrinal email. If you would like to write us, our address is 600 Penn Oak Road, Katy, Texas, 77494. Until tomorrow, thank you for joining us on Word for the World.
God has not abandoned Israel unless the sun didn't come up this morning. God is fulfilling the promise just like he said he would, the prophecy. He said, you'll be scattered for many days, but then I'm going to call you back home. If it's a nation created by God, then Israel is a nation protected by God. All these covenants, all these promises, all the Old Testament, all the New Testament, all came to us from the Jews. I think in our daily prayer life, we ought to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem.
And that's what we do here at Friend at Zion, is pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And today, we're continuing where we've been leaving off, where we've been discussing here in Zechariah, the second chapter. And we are praying for the day of the second coming and the judgment of the nations, as we talked about yesterday. But then, moving beyond, the word is, in Zechariah 2, verse 11, many nations will join themselves to the Lord in that day and will become my people. Isn't that fabulous? That the people of God, chosen in among the Jews and in Judea and Samaria, the Israelites, they are the people of God throughout history. But in that day, many nations will join to the Lord, and they will become my people. Now, today we have the church, but this is speaking of something that is completely different. This literally is speaking of the nations. You see, there will be, as we discussed yesterday, a judgment of the nations. And some, because they have treated Israel well, they will be offered the opportunity to come into the kingdom of God and to even become the people of God. Oh, this won't do away even in that day with the distinction of the Jews, because the next verse goes on to say, the Lord will possess Judah as his portion. Isn't that fabulous? The Jews are going to be God's portion, or the portion of the Messiah, his inheritance. But many nations will come and attach themselves to the Lord on that day. You know, that's a consistent theme throughout Scripture. In fact, even the timing is consistent, that God will bring his people back. Then there'll be a revival of his people of Judaism. Then his people will attach themselves to the Messiah and say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then the Messiah will come, and then there will be the judgment of the nations, and those nations that survive that judgment will come, and they will become his people over and 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 over again. I can't say it too often. The Scripture teaches that pattern. Why do some ignore it? I think it's because they still have a disdain for Israel. Many nations will join themselves. Isaiah says it will come about in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of mountains and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it, and many peoples will come and say, come, Lord, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us. It's over and over and over again. Heavenly Father, today we pray for the peace of Jerusalem by saying, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Bring about the judgment of the nations, that Judah would be your inheritance and many nations would cling, that strangers would join them and attach themselves to the house of Jacob, as Isaiah said. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.